It's certainly a privilege to once again be able to share some things out of God's Word. You know, Ralph was just saying about the light that he saw at Calvary, and it's a wonder because God says it was very dark at Calvary. He actually eclipsed the sun. The sun refused to shine because God said no sun. It was the darkness that happened when God the Father was dealing with his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from 12 o'clock roughly till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to God's Word. There was darkness over all the land. Now, I believe that darkness was over the whole land, literally the whole earth. That's what it was. Because God was dealing with his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. People did all they could to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it was God's turn. Now, by his stripes we are healed. Let me make that plain. Nothing that man did to the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. It was what God did to our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father did. He laid upon him all of our sins. And that's why that song said, I saw the light, because Calvary was dark. Calvary was at one place and at one time the very best thing that ever happened, and it was the very worst thing that ever happened at the same time. It showed man for what man is, but it also showed what God is. God is merciful, even though the weight of our sins on our Lord Jesus Christ was horrendous, and we can't even imagine what it would be. Every sin ever committed by anyone and everyone was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people who preach that Christ did not die for the sins of the whole world, but the Bible says so in John's epistle. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. That one verse, even that one verse, if that's all you know about it, will tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, whether you end up in hell or not. The people that are in hell, Christ died for their sins. The Bible says so. I just quoted the verse. But let me just say this. The sin that has no forgiveness, there is a sin that has no forgiveness. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned it. And it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Now, how do you commit that sin? By calling God a liar. That's how you do it. That's how people will do it. They will say, Christ didn't die for my sins. Christ is not Lord. The Holy Spirit says he is Lord. When you say no and God says yes, and you pertain and you keep going with that no, you're calling God a liar. That's the sin that has no forgiveness. That's how people go to hell. Their sins are paid for. The Lord Jesus said so. God so loved the world. That means everybody and anybody. That whosoever believeth on him, God gave his son for that person. That person has passed from death unto life. I will argue that to my dying day, because God's word says so. It's not my opinion. It's God's truth that Christ died. Let me give it to you another way. The devil, and the devil has his people and God has his people. The devil has tried to dishonor God from the very beginning of the human race. Hath God said? And then he says to Eve, God knows that in the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you will be like him, causing Eve to believe that God somehow was not being perfectly honest. And God is not love. God doesn't want the best for you. That's what the devil will try to tell people. The devil acknowledged that there was a God in Eve's case because Eve and Adam had talked with God. And they knew that God was there. They just spoke with him. every day. God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day in the garden. But today, we have people, the devil has his people, and God has his people. The people that the devil owns, you are the son of your father, the devil, and his works you will do, the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees. The devil has his people, and God has his people. But what has happened is this. A lot of the people that belong, not to God, but they belong, they're men of the world, women of the world, they don't even know that the devil is related to them and that they're serving the devil. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in God either. I've worked with a number of atheists, and they've told me. I said, well, you know what I told them? Just what I told you. I said, you tell me one thing, and I know you. I know what kind of person you are, and the Lord Jesus Christ says the other thing, and I know what kind of person he was. Who would you believe? Have you ever told a lie? I says, who would you believe? Would you believe someone like yourself, or would you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Even his enemies acknowledge that he was wonderful. He never did anything. Even his enemies said that. You have a choice. Would you believe God, or would you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, when I say God, I mean that's who I mean. Or would you believe someone who doesn't know God? And we're all sinners. So there's that. Now, what I want to talk about is rewards for those who are saved. As far as I know, everyone here is saved. Everyone here has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some things in the Bible. The Bible is open in this country to everyone to read. It's for everyone. But there are some things that the Christian, it's important for them to know. If you're saved, you need to know these things. And I've spoken on this before, quite a while ago, actually. Do you know what is going to happen on the next event on God's calendar? We call it the rapture. The word rapture is not in God's word, but the concept is, the teaching is, it's a taking away of God's people from the earth into God's presence in heaven. Now, there's a precedent for that in God's word. God delivered Noah and his family out of the judgment. God has never judged the whole world along with the unsaved. The children of Israel in the Exodus, when the blood of the lamb was put over the doorpost, not on the threshold, only on the doorpost, across the top and down the other side, and the angel of death would come through, and when he did not see the blood, he would go in and kill the firstborn of all of those families that were in that house. But God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the term Passover. It's a wonderful remembrance of the deliverance of the children of God from judgment, along with the world, which is typified by Egypt in God's word. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? God took his people out. Righteous Lot, you wouldn't think he was, but in Peter says that he was righteous. And his family was taken out of Sodom, and God judged Sodom after taking his people out. There's a judgment coming on the world, and it's called the tribulation by Christians, and actually God says so in his word. He calls it the tribulation 7 years long. It's in Daniel, and it's in the book of the Revelation. You could study it. But what happens with God's people? They get taken out. And if you're new, I know some of you are new, that's fine. We can just go to it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, there are some people that are Christians, they're wonderful Christians, they do not teach this. They do not teach it, but here it is in God's Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Paul is writing to these, "Dear brethren, all the epistles, remember now, are written to Christians. They're not written to the unsaved. They're written to Christians, people already saved." And he says in verse 13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep." That means they've passed off into death. "That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," which is, of course, essential to your salvation. If you do not believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You must believe that he is resurrected as well as dying for your sins. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. If you say, what's the gospel? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. Three parts to the gospel. Those that are younger, remember the three. Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. He was buried. That's part two. That's what we do with dead people. We bury them. And the third is, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's all according. He mentions it twice. It's all according to the Bible. Everything we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ is not tradition. It's scripture. The word of God is pure, converting the soul. You have to understand that the word of God is of utmost importance, and that's what we have to go by, and it's true. You know what people say? Well, say, well, I give them the gospel, and say, show me and I'll believe. And they expect me to work some kind of miracle. That's not what God does. Show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. Now, that's the way it is. God's ways are not our ways. Neither are his thoughts our thoughts, and ours are not his thoughts. As high as the earth is, heaven is above the earth, so are his ways and thoughts higher than our ways. That's what the Bible says. And it's quite true. So how do you know you're saved? You start out, it says so right here. I was talking to one individual one time who trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's how you get saved. You don't trust him as your Savior. You trust him as your Lord. And then he, right then and there, once you've given him up, given yourself over to him completely, and you never will unless you're convicted of sin. You won't do it. You just won't. So does that mean I have to give up everything? You don't have to give up anything except sin. That's what God wants you to give up. Is sin. You know what God does? One time I was into sports. I was into a lot of different things, and I thought when I first got saved, I have to give all of that up. No, you don't. No, you don't. You'd be willing to give it up. What God does is take your life. You give it to him. Just give it to him. And I was convicted of my sin. I said, I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And I was that way for a long time before I heard the gospel. I don't want to go to hell. People keep telling me, I'm going to hell. Stop it. Till the last one that told me I was going to hell didn't even know me. He looked at me, saw how I was behaving, and he said, you're going to hell. He said it out loud. You're going to hell. I said, I don't even know you. How do you know I'm going to hell? He said, by the way, you're behaving. I was flummoxed completely. I was completely dumbfounded. Is it that obvious? I know I'm going to hell, but does everybody know? I guess they did. But I went over and but he told me, he says, you don't have to go to hell. And he says, I don't. And he took me into the barracks. It wasn't a barracks. I was in the Air Force. He took me in there and he said, look, he unzipped his Bible. He had a Bible that unzipped. And he opened it up and he said, look at this. He's telling me all the bad things. I says, I know. That makes it unanimous. God says the same thing you just said. I'm going to hell. I said, I know this. I'm getting more upset. And I said, I had no patience. I still have a hard time with patience. But what he told me was this. He said, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be saved. You'll go to heaven. You'll become a child of God. I says, I want it. What must I do? What? You just tell God. He's listening. Tell him. That's how I get saved. I got saved in a barracks room, and then the first thing I did, I went to church as soon as I could. It was the next day, and I was alone in the church. Even the altar boys, I was a Catholic, the altar boys never showed up. Just the priest, who was a colonel, he showed up, and he's doing the mass, and I was in the last seat, and I asked God, I said, I'll do anything you want, anything you want. Thank you for saving me. And that was how I got saved. It was real. And I meant it. And I had quite a change. Gradually. It was a gradual change. You have to grow with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you grow and grow. And I wish I had grown even more, but I'm growing. Even in my old age, I'm growing. But this is how you get saved. Now, when you do that, when you were born in the hospital, when my daughters were born, I was right there. They were being born, and I helped, and I was there. But things were going on that my daughters did not know about. Same thing when I was born, same thing when you were born. A lot of things were going around you that you didn't know about. That's just the way it is. A newborn baby doesn't know anything. Well, that was the way it was when I was saved. You became joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? You get what the Lord Jesus Christ gets, except worship. You share with him as the bride of Christ everything that he has as far as eternal life is concerned. Do you know that you will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will judge angels? Did you know that? People think a lot of angels, and they should. We're a little bit lower than the angels now, but the day is coming, if you're saved, that you will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be on the throne, and you will reign with him as his bride, and you will judge angels. That's in Corinthians. You will judge angels. Isn't that wonderful? There's more. That would be enough. But there's more, and I want to talk about that now. We talked about 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. When are we going to see the Lord Jesus Christ? When does the rapture come? How much time is there between the rapture of the church, when we are taken up for out of judgment, we're not going to be judged. Christ has been judged in our place. On the cross, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we don't be in judgment. We are passed from death unto life. We're taken up. We're got out of here. The marriage supper of the Lamb starts right then. That's what happens. That's when it happens, at the rapture. How much time is there between after we are gone that the tribulation begins? The Bible doesn't say, except in one little place, that you can get that. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. The only clue given in God's Word between the time of the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation is this, in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 8. In verse 7, we'll go for connection. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth, that's the Holy Spirit, it's not an it, it's a he, the third person, so-called, of the Trinity. He who now hindereth will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit of God is not here, because God is everywhere. Remember, he's God, the Holy Spirit. He's not taken up off the earth. He's here because God is everywhere. Just like the Spirit of Christ is everywhere. See that verse? How can the Lord Jesus Christ be here when he's in heaven? It's the Spirit of Christ is here. In fact, he's not only here, he's here if you're saved. He dwells in you. Read Romans chapter 8. It talks about it. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him, not of God. Okay, but look. Verse 8, what does it say? And then, after the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way with the rapture of the church is here for a testimony to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're still here. We're not in heaven yet. That's why we're here, giving out the gospel. And then we're taken up, and the Holy Spirit does not indwell anybody anymore. In the Old Testament, he was not indwelling anyone. That happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would come upon people. So the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. He's still here. People will get saved during the tribulation period. But look what it says in verse 8. And then, right there, then shall that wicked one be revealed. Talking about the Antichrist, the beast. That's when he'll be revealed. That's the beginning of the tribulation, right there. That's what I think. That one word. It's the only clue you have between the rapture and when the tribulation starts. Then, a point in time, then shall that wicked one be revealed. Now, what are we doing while this is all going on? I'm losing my voice. It's okay. Maybe that's a good thing. But the thing is, God will help. Here's the thing. You're going to get rewards. We're talking about the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the dead of all God's children. All the saved are going to be raptured, taken up out of the graves. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read that. That's when that happens, and we're going to be in heaven. That's when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, which we're going to be at. The bride of Christ is going to have a big celebration in heaven, and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 2, rather. Start at verse 19. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians that he won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever won anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ? You'd ever do the work and you happen to be there at the right time and at the right place, and you were able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You were faithful witness. You didn't save anybody. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. But that's why we're here, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, is winning people for Christ, either by our example or by speaking with them, but always by praying for them, always. And living Christ, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So somebody comes and they tell you that they, like I told my friend in the Air Force, how do I get to heaven? God was already there. God already convicted me many years ago before that, that I was a sinner. But he spoke right up, and he says, you are going to hell. And so I got saved. I knew I was going to hell already. But I thought he had the answer. So I listened. I was happy to listen. And he told me, that's a soul winner's crown. He's going to get a crown, a gift of God, for what he did in his faithfulness in giving me the gospel. I was a lot bigger than he was, and I was belligerent. He wasn't afraid of me. He told me. And I accepted Christ right there, because I was ready. Well, what happens? In verse 19 and verse 20, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" You're going to get a crown if you're a soul winner. You're going to get a crown of rejoicing. And it says here, "Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" At his coming. Now you know when it is. At his coming. That's when you're going to get your reward. See that? And there are four other crowns. And I'm going to speed along here. The crown of rejoicing, "For you are our glory and joy." Is anybody in heaven because you had the faithfulness to give out the gospel? There's two people that I know that God already prepared before I got there. And I won't tell you about it for time. But they're in heaven. They're in heaven. The only two people I know of, they were ready before I got there. God did that, and there's no coincidence. There is no such thing as coincidence. Nothing. Everything happens by divine plan. Everything. Even things that you might think are accidental. There's no such thing as an accident, and there's no such thing as coincidence. God was behind the whole thing. And what he does is arrange things. And if you're usable, serviceable, and ready, that's the trick. Stay ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. God will bring people to you. He will do that. He will. You have to be usable. You have to be ready. You have to be willing. You have to be able. Ready, willing, and able to give a word in good season for him. How do you do that, by the way? You live Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You be faithful to him. Otherwise, he can use you, but he'll use you for a bad example. He will. He used me for a bad example when I've sinned, and I was awakened right away. And he used me for a bad example, and I felt shame. I should have spoken, and I didn't. Or I should not have spoken, and I did. I should have done nothing, but I did something. Or I should have done something, and I did nothing. It's all sin. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Be careful. You can get a wonderful reward. Now, what are we going to do with that reward when we get it? Crown of rejoicing? There's four more. We'll get to it. I'll mention them. What do you do with the crown? You give them to the Lord Jesus. You cast them at his feet when you get to heaven. Isn't that wonderful to have something to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to go to heaven, not empty-handed. I won't, by the grace of God. I'm going to go to heaven and give him something. He gave himself for me. What can I give for him? My faithfulness, my love, my worship, my life. You know what God does? I tell you, do I have to give up my life? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. That's the Lordship of Christ. Yes, you do. Well, you know what he does? You're not going to outgive him. He'll clean your life up. He will. He surely will. He'll make it better than it ever was. And he'll give it back to you. Here. Here you go, my son, my daughter. Here you go. Your eyes will light up, I'll tell you, when you get what God gives you. Your eyes will light up, and life will be so much better. Look, I'm failing. My voice is going, you can tell. I'm going, you can tell. Everything is going, you can tell. But God is use the foolish things of this world. I'm falling apart. I thought I was going to die a couple times. I really did. God said, that's okay, good. I'm glad you saw that. Good. Now you won't be so proud, will you? And I'm going to do a little squirt of oil here, a little squirt of oil here, a couple nails and screws, and you're good to go. You can't say God doesn't have a sense of humor. He really does. But I'm telling you, with my dying breath, I'll praise him, if by God's grace. That's how I feel about it, okay? That's how you do it. He takes your life, he saves your life, and he gives it back to you better than it was before. That's faith, but you got to have the faith to do it. You got to do it. Just do it. I'll tell you, it's better. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Maybe the time will end and my voice will end at the same time. That's all right. That's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. And Paul is talking about his reward. And so he says in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, "For though I am free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more." That's when you get your rewards. Are you a servant to anyone? Are you a servant to everybody? If you got kids, you're a servant to that child, I'll tell you. Or you should be a servant to the assembly. You should be a servant to everyone, even to the unsaved. Yes. That's a cure for pride right there. That's the worst sin. Lucifer fell from grace by pride. That's the worst sin, of the father of all sins, I think. And you be the servant of all. What was the Lord Jesus Christ? He washed the disciples' feet. Remember that? He washed the disciples' feet. He told us to do the same thing. Wash their feet. The servant of all, that I might gain the more. That's the reward. When you get it. When do you get it? At the rapture. Right after the rapture, welcome home. The bride of Christ. He shall see the travail of his soul, that's you, if you're saved, and shall be satisfied. And Job said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. There's a whole lot of satisfaction going on in heaven, and there's no dissatisfaction. Not one little bit. Not one little bit. Everybody is satisfied up in heaven. Everybody's really happy, and it doesn't stop. It's forever. Now, Paul's going to gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law. I'm going to go in verse 24. I'm failing for time, too. Know ye not all that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that means moderate, in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. That's a different crown than the crown of rejoicing for the soul winner. I'm going to turn, just so you get it. I got five more minutes. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been talking about the Lord coming. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to love his coming to get you. We've all had little kids, and some of them get lost. And when they finally see you, they are really happy. Even though they've been crying, they are happy to run into your arms. It never fails. You may cry now, but when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you are going to be happy, and you won't have to run into his arms. You'll be taken into his arms. And what an embrace. What a wonderful Savior we have. Look at verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Henceforth, from now on, that means, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, Here where you come in, right here. But unto all them that love his appearing. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to love his appearing. Turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, we have that inheritance that we have. We have that crown that we're going to have by living a godly life. I'm going to turn again in a couple more minutes here. We have it. Now this crown here is a crown of martyrdom, this last one. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. You see, it's not the crown of martyrdom, I'm sorry. The other one was, the last one was. This is the crown of glory. This is an overseer's crown. I'm one of the overseers here. I never really wanted to be. I didn't have that in my heart to become an overseer. But here's what happens. If you make yourself the servant of God, I never really wanted to be on the oversight, never. Because I knew what it was, and I didn't want it. I confess to you that I didn't want it. I didn't think I could do it, and I didn't want it. It's a lot of work, and there's a lot of heartache involved. That's true. However, you do yourself, you give yourself to Christ, and he decides what you do. You're not elected by somebody else. You're elected by God. Election means choice. You're elected by God. When God says you for do something, you do it. And that's all there is to it. That's what the Lordship of Christ is all about. And I'm glad to do it. Not because I like the work itself, but because I like the one who gave me the work, and it's an opportunity to serve him. I don't like picking up trash, but you know what? God tests me every day. Every day, I don't like picking up trash. I was in the Air Force. I learned how to pick up trash. I learned how to do a lot of things. Talking about picking up trash, I was with a senior master sergeant, little guy like that. He went as high as he could, senior master sergeant. One more, he could have been chief master sergeant, one more stripe. We're walking together out of the parking lot into our job. You know what he did? There was a piece of trash on the ground. He could have ordered me to pick it up. I was just a sergeant. He could have said, pick that up. He didn't do that. He picked it up. I never forgot about it. He didn't say a word. Piece of paper on the ground, he went over and picked that up. And he put it in the trash can when we got inside the building. He didn't tell me to do it. He did it. That spoke to me. That spoke to me. The Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples. Isn't that something? Humility is the secret of greatness. If you put yourself down, remember the seating at the table? Sit at the lowest place and he will bring you up. That's what you need to do. Sit at, take the low place. And he'll tell you what to do. And he'll put you in the highest place. That's the reward that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he taught. And his teaching is wonderful because he is wonderful and he teaches about what he knows. And he knows everything. And he knows you. Yes, he does, if you're saved. In Matthew chapter 25, he tells some people, I never knew you. Depart from me. But if you're saved, he knows you. And that means you better behave. He knows everything. He'll never tell you to do something that's bad for you. He never will. You wouldn't tell your children to do something that was harmful, would you? Of course not. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. Completely sell out to him. As young as you can be, sell out to him as soon as possible in life, and he will give you your reward. And you know what's great about those rewards? It's because he's the one that gave them to you. That's what makes it special, is the giver, not the gift. It's the giver, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for thy Son. We want to be more like him. We want to follow him. We want to be with him. It's all about him. And Father, we ask you for help in living for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee thanks. Amen.